Cleveland got good field. I like their grass field. I don't have no problem with their fans or nothing. I always wanted to jump into the dog pound. I've never did that, but I always wanted to. So, I mean, Cleveland not bad.
Is that on the table?
No, I wouldn't do it. I heard they stab people in there. Messing with y'all, man. I'm a troll, bro. I do stuff to troll.
Bengals receiver Ja'Marr Chase there with some nonsense yesterday with the media. I distinctly heard James Rapine's laugh there. He's the publisher of BengalsTalk.com, Locked On Bengals as well. Former, emphasis on former, resident here locally, the great James Rapine joins us now on the fan hotline. James, were you one of those laughing voices as I detected in the Ja'Marr Chase troll moment of the offseason?
No, I wasn't. I skipped it. Dead serious. I actually missed the Ja'Marr press conference, so I wasn't there. But I do agree with him that he was he is a bit of a troll, and I thought that was pretty funny.
So, yeah, we didn't take it that way either, by the way, just because he punctuated with, you know, I'm a troll. I do want to know there, like, 2 years ago, it felt like we had a real like, burgeoning rivalry between the two teams that I think last year happened, and the Browns went 3-14, and the Bengals were 9-8. I'm curious, like, from the Cincinnati side, has the burgeoning rivalry died down here?
I think maybe a little bit, just because you're right. Like, what's going on in Cleveland from a quarterback standpoint specifically? And a couple of years ago, they obviously made the playoffs. The Bengals finished 9-8, but obviously were on the outside looking in. And the way that year started after back-to-back AFC championship games was a week one beatdown in Cleveland at the hands of the Browns. So I think that certainly helped the rivalry along, and then it took a step back. Who knows? Maybe it picks up again on Sunday and gets back on track. That would be nice to have a rivalry here in Ohio.
James, I've been pretty vocal this week about the idea that I just think it's a mismatch when you sounded out 40-year-old Joe Flacco versus Joe Burrow. And so I'm not guaranteeing a Bengals win because that just seems like a bad business practice by me. We have not guaranteed a Bengals win. I just, like, that's, to me, I can't sit there and tell people Joe Flacco versus Joe Burrow all of a sudden has the Browns with an edge. But there's more to this game than just those two players, obviously, even if Joe's a big factor in it. Both Joes.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, because if it was just that, well, then it wouldn't be close. But I would be surprised if it wasn't close, at least for the majority of Sunday. And it wouldn't shock me if the Browns won because of everything else around the two Joes. And the thing that I keep coming back to is how well Joe Burrow performed throughout training camp. It's the best I've seen him, and that includes last year when he put up the numbers that he did. He's just been so consistent, moving so well in the pocket, out of the pocket, making the right decisions. It took him forever to throw an interception in camp, even when he was trying to make risky and daring throws. So, yeah, I think that's a huge edge, but it's not the only thing that you look at, obviously, because this has been a tough matchup for the Bengals. There's a reason why it did feel like it was a rivalry, and why I do think it's going to be much, much easier said than done when it comes to the Bengals getting to 1-0.
What scares you most about this matchup?
Number 95, that guy Myles Garrett, he's capable of being the best player on the field. And there aren't many people on the planet that can be the best player on the field or capable of being the best player on the field when Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase are on it. And that's where it starts for Cleveland because of all the attention that he is going to command. Yeah, he's capable of wrecking the game, but it's also going to open up things for a guy like Malik Collins, who I liked adding in free agency. That defensive front is tough. Obviously, you have the fifth overall pick in Mason Graham as well. So that's where it starts, is that Myles Garrett and that defensive line depth going up against a pass-first Bengals offense. And if the Browns can win that matchup, then they're certainly going to have a chance on Sunday.
The Bengals' new defense, Al Golden in. You get Burks from Philadelphia. I have no idea what to think of Ja'Marr Stewart. I'd like some input on that because he just didn't have much production. He's one of those combine All-Americans, but the actual production wasn't great in college. They tried. First couple round picks on defensive side of the ball. Was it enough, or are they going to look like they did last year?
They better not look like they did last year, but it's a fair question because there's a lot of the same faces. And they switched it up coaching-wise a little bit, and You bring in multiple new linebackers. You mentioned Oren Burks, and then you get two rookies in Demetrius Knight. And it's interesting because you get Demetrius Knight, you get Barrett Carter, and you get Oren Burks behind Logan Wilson, and I don't really know what to make of that linebacker room. But the biggest concern for me is the pass rush. And I thought Shamar Stewart had a heck of a training camp. He was disruptive. He was someone that could move all across the defensive front. And I do think may end up being a weapon as early as Sunday. But we need to see it. And the way this defense performed in the preseason, even if it was only five or six possessions, it didn't give you any confidence that they are going to be improved from last season. So, yeah, there's a lot of pressure on these guys to be better, especially when you look at this matchup on paper and you say, all right, well, it is 40-year-old Joe Flacco. It's not Lamar Jackson. It's not a guy that's going to be able to move around and buy time and all those things. So you should be able to get at least some heat on him, assuming you can stop the run, which I think is key number one for this defense. They better go to Cleveland and slow down that rushing attack. Otherwise, it could be a long day.
James Rapine, Bengals on SI, BengalsTalk.com on the fan hotline here with Nick and Jonathan. We're live out at Rally House getting you ready for Browns-Bengals on Sunday here in Cleveland. There has been such a tremendous amount of emphasis on early season success and you know, playing in the preseason and all these other changes the Bengals have moved. Ross Tucker was on with us 2 days ago and said that this almost feels like the Bengals Super Bowl, the first two games of the season. Is there any concern that the Bengals have gone too hard in the paint trying to be better early in the season?
I don't think so. I think that was an emphasis for sure, and obviously they tweaked some things. But I don't think that's something that they're necessarily talking about or have talked about recently. I think it's more about making sure that they're prepared the right way for the entire season. But I'll say this, if they go to Cleveland and they lose, then all of the headlines are going to be, man, another slow start. Can't believe they went up there and lost again. And so I do think there is some pressure on them to deliver and to get off to a 1-0 start for the first time since 2021. I mean, that's ages ago, the first time they've won the opener. So I do think there's some pressure. I don't think they've overemphasized it internally, even though it's going to be a huge talking point, especially if they go up there, lay an egg like they did a few years ago and start out 0-1.
Is Zach Taylor, does he enter on the hot seat or no?
How do they perform over the first 8 weeks of the season, right? I think that's a huge thing, and the health factor is big too. Look, if Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase and really your stars in general, if your stars are really good again and you're not, and you're on the outside looking in of the playoff picture, well, then there's no excuse because they're built to win now. They're expecting to win now, and they should feel that way because they have a Joe Burrow in his prime, T. Higgins, who I think is entering his prime, Jamar entering his prime. Like, and this should be the time to win. And so, yeah, I think playoffs, it's kind of funny. You had the Zach Taylor conversation. If they miss the playoffs and those guys are healthy and playing well, well, then you're talking about hot seat. If they make the playoffs, I think you're talking about contract extension. So it's a big, big year for Zach Taylor.
Looking just beyond that, I didn't think Lou Anarumo was the problem. And so I'm not quite sure they've got an upgrade in Al Golden. What's the big change just defensively? How much are they changing what they've tried to do up front and, you know, I guess ideologically with the defense as opposed to previous years?
Yeah, I think the important thing and the thing that Al is doing that Lou, especially mid-year and early in the year when they really struggled on defense, didn't do, is making sure that all three levels were on the same page. And that seems like such a simple thing, but man, oh man, like the word simplify the defense has been used a ton this offseason. And that doesn't mean that it's going to be easier for Joe Flacco to handle on Sunday. But what it does mean is that everyone's on the same page at least. And so if you're going to be able to be on the same page, well, that's something that they didn't do. It's a really basic thing that they weren't in line on for the majority of last season. And it looked like it. All the big plays they gave up on the ground, all the big plays they gave up over the top. And so I think that's the big change. It's just communication-wise, I do think, even if they go give up 40 on Sunday, they're going to be on the same page, which it may not sound like anything, but that is important because last year I don't think they were. So I think that's a big part of it. Obviously, Al Golden had a tremendous three-year run at Notre Dame, and yet they have to all prove it. I don't know what they expect from this defense because we haven't seen it yet. And so this is a first step for them, and I do think that they should be able to go up there and contain this Browns offense, but will they? That's a complete. If they're a competent unit, I should say. If they're competent, then they should be able to go up there and contain them. I'm not sure they're competent, and I think we'll see on Sunday.
James, I always like when fan bases get extremely nitpicky with great quarterbacks, and I think Joe Burrow is a great quarterback. It's like Patrick Mahomes, for instance. Chiefs fans are like, well, he's not attacking the ball downfield the way that he used to. We need to see him get back to that. Josh Allen in Buffalo. Bills fans are always like, he's just a little too aggressive when he gets injured and he wants to run around and continue to use his legs when he needs to stay in the pocket. Lamar Jackson, Ravens fans are like, when the bright lights go on in the playoffs, he's a different player than he is in the regular season. What is it that Bengals fans like nitpick when it comes to Joe Burrow and feel like he can do at a level that maybe he doesn't do right now?
Yeah, I think last year it was certainly like, oh, well, the ball's been in Joe's hands and he could close out the game. He hasn't closed out the game, and they've got 30-plus points on the board. I think that's certainly something that you'd mention. The other thing would be going under center, play action, those type of things. Now, I think they've implemented those and been better at that, and I think that's something that we could see some on Sunday, is just how more multiple this offense is compared to where it was a few years ago when it was basically a spread-them-out type of attack. They're capable of doing that, but I don't think they have to do that necessarily to win on offense now. So, arm strength, physical ability, those are all going to be things I think that people do nitpick with Joe. Naturally, he's not Josh Allen from an arm strength standpoint and just that big physical presence. But, I think it's really tough to be too nitpicky with him and with these great quarterbacks. They're awesome in their own way. And yet there will always be some naysayers, there's no doubt.
All right. I mean, I think what people really want to know is, are you going to guarantee Bengals win on Sunday? Or are you going to be a coward?
I'm no Joe Thomas, so I will be a coward. But I will say this. I will make it very clear. I've said it on these airways. I think I said it last week when I was on. The Bengals should win this game. Comfortable saying that. I mean, they should.
Yeah, very strong.
Yeah, I'm happy you're comfortable saying that as 5.5 point favorites.
I mean, for you to risk your credibility by saying the Bengals should win this game.
Stepping out on a ledge there, James.
Very proud.
Who cares? They should. Now, will they? I don't know. But they should win the game.
James Rapine and I used to know. You just throw haymakers.
Yep.
Where's that guy?
It's like Floyd Mayweather now.
Yeah. Too bad.
Wow, like Floyd Mayweather. Can I get that money that Floyd has? It's so
it's better than if I said it's like Floyd Mayweather 7 years ago. James.
You just have to get mean on it now.
James.
We're not the morning show for James.
This
Come
is
on,
a
James.
Rivalry, okay?
We're heated. It's Friday. We're at the rally house. We don't mean any of it.
We're rallying around the house.
That's it.
James, you're great, buddy. We appreciate
you. James.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate you.
James Rapine. Sometimes things leave my mouth, and I'm like, yeah, that happened. I don't know.
Tiger got out of the cage.
So James Rapine was great on the fan hotline there. We'll react to what he had to say and the Myles Garrett impact in 5 minutes right here on 92.3 The Fan. I mean, just fear. Just fear dripping from James Rapine's answer about Sunday. All I heard was he was afraid of Myles Garrett.
I can't believe he wouldn't guarantee it.
I know.
Guaranteeing a Bengals win it's
Cleveland radio.
It's the easiest thing you could do.
He could play that to open every single one of the BengalsTalk.com videos. And, like, we would have given a good reaction.
Now, is the problem there is that Bengals fans would just eye roll at it and be like, oh, really going out on a limb there, James?
I think it might be that there aren't actually that many real Bengals fans.
Is that the problem?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't recall that being a wealth of fandom in my travels and experiences.
Even more reason to shoot from the hip then.
That's true. Well, but if you're going to pander, you want a bigger group of people to pander to. I think that's the point.
Although I guess if you get it wrong while calling a win on a 5.5 point favorite, that is about as low as it gets.
Yeah, I know. But again, he should be supremely confident.
He should be. That's the part that escapes me. He talked about how great their practices have been, how great their spring training has been. Every aspect of this team had looked really, really good to James. And then he just kind of just kind of didn't want to go the whole distance.
The Bengals have gone so hard in the paint in trying to win week one against a team that might win 3 to 5 games this year.
Well, so he refuted that. At least that was my impression of that. He kind of really downplayed what Ross was trying to sell us, that this was their Super Bowl. He made the point that they had started out that way, but then in the previous month or so, it had just kind of, that chatter had kind of gone to the background. So I'm interested to find out what the real truth is there.
Yeah, I think, of course, he's got the fear of Myles Garrett in him. He's trying to downplay how much this game means to him because he knows what's going to happen in a very close game that might go either way.
I feel like maybe we've made a little bit too much out of the idea that this is their Super Bowl because we want them to feel as if they really do have a lot on it. But history would suggest it should be. When you're 1-11 and you're Zach Taylor, and Joe Burrow's record is even worse when it comes to the first 2 weeks of the season, you have to win these type of games.
Now, I was relieved to hear that from the Browns' perspective, Myles Garrett was back at practice today.
Yeah.
I think we had all gotten to the point where we had read, reread, triple read, quadruple read, had relatives read and then explain it to us, Mary Kay's report, where there was a suggestion that there could have been an MRI on Myles Garrett's hip. So to see that he was back today at practice, it definitely allowed us just to kind of breathe a little bit and just get back to getting hyped up for this game that could turn into a 3-sack performance for Myles.
So are we back to the extreme expectations for Myles? Are we going to put the injury to the side, or are we still going to go to this being not an excuse, but a reason for if he doesn't dominate?
That sounds like an excuse.
I mean, I don't know how else to put it, if he doesn't dominate this poor offensive line.
It's his hip.
Is that, I mean, that, well, I, what, I what, did he have an MRI? Did he not have an MRI? You tell me.
I don't think anybody definitively knows because it wasn't reported. It was just potentially suggested.
I don't think he'd get an MRI just for the fun of it, right?
I don't know what he's into.
But if you're, is that his kink?
He just really likes being MRI.
Loves MRIs?
Well, I mean, think about it. If you had that kind of body definition, you would want to see that on the big screen anyway.
How
right?
hard is he going to try to
show me your
to
tricks,
us
big boy?
How hard is he going to try to sell to us that he is dealing with something and is banged up a little bit versus what you always find with him where it's like, I'm good to play. We're good to go.
I think not only do I think Myles will have a big game on Sunday, I think this is the rare case. I don't know that I want to definitively lock in the word need, but I've been so irritated with Myles from the leadership stuff to then everybody's being like, we shouldn't expect him to be a leader, which I think is the ultimate cop-out that we would never give to any other player in NFL stink in history in this town. But somehow, Myles gets a cop-out for the leadership issues on this team and the fact that he said he wanted to be a leader and then wanted to trade because he wanted to go somewhere to win and then settled for $40 million 5 weeks later. And then the entire offseason, where he's kind of been a little... standoffish at points with the media as if we requested the trade for him and then took the money and ran. I would like to see Myles Garrett get back to reminding me why Myles is one of my favorite players, which is where you go ahead and kick ass and take
games. And I do have different expectations. As long as the season goes the way that we think it's going to go, I have different expectations in week one when the games still matter more and when the games still feel like you're playing for something instead of week 12 or week 13.
Or when week like five
season,
or six.
Yeah, when the season's just shot. You know what I mean? Like when if you're a 3-win season this year and it's week 13 or 14, I kind of get it in many ways. I do, Myles. I really do. I'm not going to hammer you there. I really won't. But week one, when you still have the season in front of you, I need you to be your very best.
And this is a matchup that even if the other defensive linemen haven't been good, he's been great. Listen, if I'm going to say the same thing about, hey, your strengths are in their weaknesses, their strengths are in your weaknesses. Mm-hmm. Like if we talk about the matchup from that side of things, there's no easier matchup there are very few easier matchups on the docket for Myles on any given year than an offensive line that the Bengals have just habitually failed to ever get right. And by the way, it's not just my Myles prediction here. It's the rest of the defensive line as well. If you're going to eat over these next couple weeks, this is the game you start. Because if you can't dominate this, and it's better. It is a better offensive line than it was 3 years ago.
You still have mysteries, though.
That's because they were awful.
I know, but like Fairchild, for instance, making his rookie debut, I don't know what he's going to be in that offensive line. He could absolutely stink up the joint. It's the weird thing about Joe Burrow is they've had chances to go ahead and beef up that offensive line. In fact, that was one of the most famous things they've ever done is say Penei Sewell, who, by the way, turned out to be really, really good. No, thank you. We want Ja'Marr Chase. It worked out in Joe's favor in many, many ways. but he's always put the offensive pieces in the skill position part of the ball in favor over the offensive line. And so, like, Joe, these are the type of games you put yourself into.
Well, and I'm going to come back to Miles specifically. If this team wants to surprise, if this team listens to our show and gets consistently upset because we are a we think they're a 3 to 5 win team, or you know, other shows talk to quarterbacks and you know, Seneca Wallace, and they all of a sudden think it's an 8 win team, like it, or Luke McCown or Josh, any of the McCowns, Randy McCown, Timmy McCown.
Oh, did you get the invite to the family reunion as well?
Every year.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's just so many McCowns, so little time.
That's how I always say.
But if you're pissed, if you're furious, if you think we're slighting you, well, this is the show me game. And listen, I'm not going to be the guy that after this win, I go, oh, yep, all right, you're not a 5-win team, but this is the game that you go ahead and start making that case for, because it's an advantageous matchup, which it's tough to say that against Baltimore, Green Bay, Detroit, Minnesota, or, mm-hmm. or Pittsburgh.
These are the layups. It's not even late in the season.
Ooh, I don't love calling it a layup.
For Miles?
Oh, for Miles. Okay.
It's about as easy as it gets for Miles. Like, these are the easy ones. This is the matchup that you should be, you know, chomping at the bit to go ahead and really dominate. Like, this is it for you. There's really no excuses. And like, again, even if it was late in the season, we could be like, well, Miles sometimes later in the year, he's a little banged up. He's a little beat up. He's got this going on. He's just not as good later on in the year as he is in the early parts of the season. We've heard all that stuff. This is week one. Like, go out there and show us something.
Well, and I'll continue to come back to it. Maybe need is the wrong word. I want, and as a fan, I need a reminder of why it's good business to keep Miles here.
Why $40 million is a worthwhile venture?
Well, just the whole thing. Because you know, because here's the thing. I'm going to roll my eyes every time he talks if you go 3-14. I'm going to roll my eyes every time.
You might do it even if we go like, you know, 10-7 and he looks awesome.
Well, okay, that's fair. I mean,
I'm not really in the business of Miles speaking and me being like, I need to hear what he has to say and believe him at face value.
Yeah, probably never again. But this is how you make up for it. And you can't make up for it by suddenly being a better leader, because I just think that I'm going to accept defeat on this regard. Yeah, we no longer expect you to be a leader. We expect you to be an incendiary football player. And I, much like last year, where it felt like because of the injuries, because of the roster flaws, it felt like Miles most weeks was keeping your defense afloat while having feet injuries, while dealing with this, that, and the other. Right? Okay. Well, keep us afloat now. And I don't think he has to carry the same weight now that he did last year. But I'm ready. I'm ready to put to bed all the nonsense of this offseason. But you go out there, if everybody else eats on Sunday and Miles doesn't, it's going to feel a little light to me, well, given that he's a $40 million man and it's just drugged the whole thing through the mud this
offseason. There is a way that it works in his favor, though, because he can obviously have a lot of pressures and he can have a lot of attention on him. He can be double-teamed. And then all of a sudden you watch someone like McGuire or Alex Wright or even Mason Graham. I know Mason Graham's not expected to have a million sacks this year, but have a lot of those guys then get home. And like that, like there is ways that Miles can impact a game even while not getting to the quarterback at an elite rate.
Yeah, I always hate that idea of, well, you guys, you don't understand. He doesn't have sacks, but he's got pressures. It's like, yeah, okay, but what do we? it's almost like the idea of
it's sad because we just don't have enough ways in the box score to really kind of figure out what exactly he's done.
Yeah, but sacks still matter.
Sacks do matter. I'm not trying to belittle sacks, but also he can impact a game even just by getting pressures and even just opening things up for someone like Mason Graham.
I'm not gonna clap for, oh, you really opened that one up.
No. But I don't, if he disappears on Sunday, I would imagine there's probably a strong reason. I would imagine it's because the Bengals are throwing 2 and 3 guys at him at every single play.
I think you're already making excuses for Miles.
No, it's not that. Like, this is the game he's supposed to look good in. This is the one. If there's ever going to be a game that he's supposed to look good in, this would be it. But also, if I turn around and he had half of a sack and didn't seem like his usual self in the box score, I'm sure there's going to be a reasonable explanation why. He's just too good to just be a complete no-show in a game like this.
216-474-0092 with Myles Garrett, with James Rapine openly admitting the fear of Myles Garrett. The question becomes, does Miles need a big game one, week one, against the Bengals? And I also think, listen, I do think there's something in Joe Burrow's head about 95. And it makes sense. because Miles is feasted against him. And so while Mason Graham getting a sack, okay, but Joe doesn't have history with that. Joe doesn't have history with Isaiah McGuire, Shelby
Harris.
It's
the fear of Miles Garrett. That's the difference.
And well, but how do you get fear? You go ahead and reinforce
He's already gotten fear. He's earned the right of fear throughout, his Hall of Fame career already. Well, but again, if they just put everything over on Miles, that is a way to disrupt the game while also not disrupting it with sacks.
And he's also gotten sacks when he's been double and triple teamed.
And he can do both.
This double and triple team is not the same thing as what you might see against Baltimore, who I feel like every offensive lineman they have is 350.
But are you not curious to find out what exactly the Bengals' response to Miles is and just how much attention they do put on him?
No, because they haven't been that smart in the first place.
That's what I wonder. Al Golden is a different part of this. And so, Sweet Lou, there's a real chance that he just didn't know what to do with Miles. I don't know that Al Golden does either, but at least it might be a different look.
Well, but it's the same offensive coordinator. It's the same O-line coach that at points has just been like, we're going to go one-on-one with Miles.
Yeah. No, it's not unfair to suggest that they don't know what they're doing with Miles Garrett. That's not unfair. But I do wonder how much attention. It's almost like the Ohio State-Texas game, where it's like, how much are they going to put on Jeremiah Smith after making sure that was their only thing they did in the semifinal game, was just locking down Jeremiah Smith?
I'll go one step further. Does Miles have to have an elite game for the Browns to win? Meaning, if anything less than elite, can he go ahead?
Here's what I know. He can have an elite game and the Browns still lose. We know that. It's more important Joe Flacco has an elite game than it is Miles Garrett has an elite game.
Show your work.
Joe Flacco having an elite game?
If Joe Flacco has
an elite game, 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, out-duels Joe Burrow, that's way more important to me than Miles Garrett having a 4-sack game.
I don't know how to say this one without it coming out insulting. So I'm stalling
for time. It's just going to insult me.
I know. And now the fact that I've said it might be insulting.
Get ready to insult me. I'm on the side of points. Now go ahead and insult me.
I think your read on this, I don't think it's going to be a shootout. I don't. I would be surprised.
I don't either, because I don't think Joe's going to score enough points to make it a shootout.
Which Joe? Joe Burrow?
Joe Flacco, and you know what Joe I'm talking about.
Well, no, I don't think Joe Burrow's going to put up a lot of points.
Joe Flacco going for 300 yards and being a better quarterback than Joe Burrow puts you in the driver's seat to win this game.
I don't care about yardage.
Miles Garrett can have 4 sacks and make Joe Burrow's life hell every other play, but it's not going to matter the same way if Joe Flacco is just tearing it up, going up and down the field at will.
Yeah, the Browns at no point should consider themselves, should they consider it a smart idea for themselves to get into a shootout here. And how you avoid that is Miles and the guys do their work, and then you avoid a shootout by controlling the
We watched Miles Garrett have a 4-sack game last year that you lost to Justin Herbert and the Chargers with.
We've seen him take over games. At what point in the season
was that?
We've
seen him take over games, and it just not even matter.
That was after the season was pretty much lost. This is the beginning of the season.
It was 2 months in. It's not like it was
That was lost. That was after Deshaun popped his Achilles.
Okay, but it would have been in that game, it would have been so much more important for whichever quarterback it even was, because I can't even remember at this point, to have thrown for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns and lit up the scoreboard instead of Miles getting 4 sacks.
I will tell you, I think Joe Flacco, the Browns, should definitely try and go out there and have a lighted-up war with Joe Burrow. That seems like a way to win. That's just me. Does Miles Garrett need a big week one against the Bengals? Thomas, Mike, you guys as well. We'll continue on with that. And it's more than just about the Browns in 2025. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. He gave us the nod,
Multiple nods. Might just be a listener. Maybe he played college football. Maybe he didn't play any sports.
I mean, I think he should have.
I think he should have, too.
I mean, sure, he drives a nice car.
As you sounded it out, it's like he drives a nice car, has a beautiful girlfriend. It's like, he checks a lot of the boxes, but also there are people that drive nice cars and have beautiful girlfriends that are just,
successful. Yeah, but what's the ratio on that?
I mean,
I would think
it'd be pretty decent.
Very youthful. Very young to have that kind of. Listen, we're not judging. This is us saying you've done well, young man.
Maybe he's like a Bitcoin millionaire or something. I don't know.
Oh, man. I really missed that whole Bitcoin by not having money to put into it 15 years ago.
Yeah.
If I'd only had $50,000 to put into it 15 years ago, I'd be a 100 millionaire now.
Well,
if I chose the right one.
Well, there's always another Bitcoin right around the corner, Nick. That's what they tell me.
That's true. That's true.
That's what they tell me. I see you've made some purchases here at the Rally House.
I did. I got a Guardians placard for my office, and then I got the Browns white helmet, the mini helmet.
I love the Browns white helmet.
And I got to tell you, the team that works here, smooth. There was one of the there was the giant size, the regulation size white helmets.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm glad I didn't see that one because I would have bought it. And
were they like, we haven't rang it up yet?
One of the ladies that worked here was like, yeah, I think that's the last one.
Oh, she really wanted it. That's a good sell.
And then she further was like, might be the last one, jokingly, obviously. Mm-hmm, yeah. Might be the last one in the entire system.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, well, now I got to have it. All right?
I'm surprised you didn't get it.
There's still time.
There's still time. You got two hours.
And if I see somebody, we're at a good angle here. Listen, I'm not a fast person, but I was known for my pursuit angles in football.
Yeah, well, you show off the calves all day, so like we know you got it.
And I'm telling you right now, we're at such a great angle. If I see somebody walking out with that white helmet.
Or even just eyeing it.
Oh, I can just... I can really come close to tackling.
Yeah, that's the right move. Yeah. By the way,
I'm not gonna tackle him because I can't. I won't be. I don't have that speed.
Pull
that
the old Jalen Carter
that I used to.
Him.
Never.
Yeah.
But I definitely they'll see it and they'll know to run faster.
And then my bike was that Nick Wilson I stole that helmet from. And then and then they'll just give it to you.
And then they'll know because I'll just yell, "Don't you know who I am?"
Yeah, that's right.
People love that. People
they
love
do very receptive to that.
Very
response,
receptive.
I've noticed.
To radio guys' egos.
Yes.
I've always heard. Now, we're asking if Myles Garrett needs a big game on Sunday. I also think, like, do you think the Browns win without a huge Myles Garrett performance on Sunday against the Bengals? Thomas and Shaker, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hi, JP. Hi, backwards hat guy. Hey, Nick, real quick. Mason Graham, what kind of season do you think he's going to have out of curiosity?
A good one.
I was thinking a good one.
Yeah, like, do you think he's like a high sack guy, or do you think he's more of a stop the run guy?
Oh, this is actually a very passionate topic for Nick.
All right, so I think if you think he's going to have 10 sacks this year, that's just not fair. But I think, let me put it this way, I think he averaged about 3 sacks a year at Michigan. Mm-hmm. I think he will surpass that this year. I think he'll be a 3 to 5 sack guy, and I think you're going to see a lot of his impact because I think the number one thing you haven't had with Miles is enough consistent push up the middle. And so Miles has occasionally over-pursued off the edge, occupational hazard. You're not going to be able to do that with Miles with Mason and Malik Collins.
You're reminded in a game like last night with Jalen Carter when he gets ejected. You're like, that presence up the middle that way is just so valuable.
That's a really good point. All of this is stated as long as Mason Graham doesn't spit on Joe Burrow this weekend.
Yeah, if he does, that's all just would throw everything out the window.
Yeah. Dude, everyone, one of my friends' fantasy teams last night. Yo, okay, so this is what I think is going to happen on Sunday. I think we're going to win. I guarantee Jerry Jeudy gets 2 receptions, so put that in that parlay.
But really doubling win. Down on that Sunday. Guarantee there.
Really went for it, Thomas.
Yeah, I think we'll win Sunday. I do think that with the addition of our I think our defensive line got stronger. I think our defense is going to be pretty nice this year. And I just think that we're just going to have a lot of momentum. We're just going to run in there. We're just going to steal the game away from the Bengals. Now, for the rest of the season, good luck to us. But I think we get Sunday.
All right, Thomas, we appreciate you, buddy. Go Browns.
Appreciate you, sir.
Thanks, Thomas. I do love the optimism attached to this game, though.
No, this is the perfect part of playing a team that you match up well against and that is conveniently maybe the easiest game in your first 6 games. That I think a lot of people agree with that. I know you don't necessarily agree with it.
No.
But, like, I just... You got a good history against them. They really struggled to contain Miles. I think if you were playing Baltimore week 1, man, today would have been a rough sled.
I do wonder how different it would be if you're playing Baltimore instead of – and now Baltimore, no one can make a case for in any sort of way because we have not necessarily – although we did get that win last year against Baltimore.
That's true.
The case it's an AFC North game and anything happens.
Never forget.
What we would do. We'd be like, it's an AFC North game. Anything happens in AFC North games. And also, it's week 1. And so maybe, just maybe, they're going to be behind the 8 ball. We could make this case for just about any game. But with the Bengals, I think it has just a little bit more. It's a little bit more valid.
Now, we do have to pass this along.
Yep.
Chiefs Chargers tonight in Brazil. And we've got an update coming by way of Mekhi Becton, who is a ginormous human being.
Big guy.
Like, we're talking 6'8", 375 pounds, and that's when he's fasting. He just put out on his Instagram what is clearly the inside of a hospital room with a monitor and, like, a drip bag saying, "Don't eat the rice and beans in Brazil, bro."
Ah.
That's a tough one there.
That is a tough one.
Also, the problem with this is you get the subtext. He's having tummy issues. And when a man when a man like that has tummy issues, there's nothing dignified
it's
about
so
that.
Easy to go to another country, though, and just instantly blame the food.
But also, Rice and beans did this?
Yeah, rice and beans don't do this.
I'm sorry. You ate something else.
A lot of things that do this.
All
rice
right?
and beans don't put you in
you
the hospital.
You ate the chicken on a stick, right?
That, yeah, something.
That's, you know, just got some awesome name to it.
Like for maybe like a, I don't know, a food truck that was just
yeah.
kind of parked outside the hotel?
Or protein. This is a protein. There's a crime of wicked protein down there in Brazil. And this is not, I have eaten rice and beans in two countries. All right, and I will tell you,
yeah.
and Jamaica.
I know,
which is Brazil adjacent.
It is. It's close
They're in the
enough.
Same part of the hemisphere, I think. And I have eaten the rice and beans in Jamaica, and I will tell you, it did nothing to me.
Is Jamaica the only place outside of the country you've been?
I've been to Canada.
Okay, there we go. Yeah. So, and you didn't have the rice and beans in Canada?
I did not.
Do they even make rice and beans in Canada?
No, but they make poutine.
It
and I did have the poutine in Canada.
It stops somewhere in Buffalo. They just stopped doing rice and beans.
I had. Oh, that is the coolest dog in the world.
That's a very cool dog.
That is. Can I get the dog for sale? No. Oh, she said no. Darn it.
Buy the dog?
I was thinking more just take it.
What if she said $5,000?
I would say $5,000.
She says no way. She just said no way to $5,000.
Okay, that's not.
You don't believe her?
I wouldn't give
people love their dogs.
I wouldn't give Mongo up for $5,000.
What's your price on Mongo? I don't want Mongo
price.
To hear this. Mongo, turn off your radio, Mongo.
He's a P1. He'll
I don't
never
want you to,
turn
I don't
off
want
the
you to
listener.
Hear this. I don't want you to hear this right now.
If you said food, he'd perk right up.
Someone comes $50,000, cold hard cash, briefcase right here, right
no.
now. And a Rally House gift card as well. It's a boot. You can buy the white helmet. You're still, you know.
No.
$100,000.
No.
$1 million.
No.
There's just no price for Mongo.
No, that's my dog.
Literally, that's your dog.
Yeah, and he's my dog.
Yeah,
like, he's my dog, and he's my dog. Like, he's my dog, and he's my bro.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Wouldn't do it.
I get it.
Couldn't do it.
I mean, I you know, I don't own a dog, so I don't have a stay
Didn't
in this
you
one.
Sell a dog?
No, I gave my dog to my mom because I was a bad dog owner because I was in Houston, and I was working too much, and the dog was just not being taken care of, and I'm like, this isn't going well.
All I can hear in the background
this isn't going well.
Is Jack's just saying, rap, get on with it.
Hmm.
The lead in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.